another teaching moment in sports where we teach the kids, never give up. You're down 20, 30 points in a game. Come back, dig in, and work harder.
On this episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we are joined by Luke Toth, the director of Luke Toth Basketball. Luke is a former head of the Cleveland Cavaliers Academy program and the founder of LTB, which he built from the ground up into a youth and AAU program serving over 600 athletes. His work is focused on player development, teaching the game the right way, and building trust with families. In this episode, we discuss how to grow a basketball program from zero to hundreds of athletes, the drills and games he found most engaging for kids during summer camps, and the feedback systems he would use to help athletes and parents clearly see progress over a whole camp session. Please welcome to the podcast, Luke Toth. Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Your host, Alan Major, Doug Caputo. Happy to chat with another person who, one, has been highly involved with basketball, but also a good friend, somebody I've known for some time now. Former head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers Academy program, is the founder and director, LTB. You see it across his chest right there, Luke Toth Basketball. If you had to take a wild guess as to what his name is, you are right, Luke Toth. Coach Toth, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, man, thank you for that intro. I appreciate it. Really excited to talk with you guys today.
Yeah, appreciate you jumping on, man. Thank you.
It's always good to chop it up with you. See you again. I know we go back a little bit, back to college and so on, and seeing what you have done so far. I guess to give everybody an idea as to what has happened, what you have done. I know in the beginning, you were ultimately a teacher. You were a high school coach back home. Great to be able to see over in Cleveland as well. But then from your time, you ultimately grew a program from zero people from the very beginning to now. I know we were just saying you have 600 people and 40 teams. There are a lot of people who would love to run and develop their own programs like you have. So that's great. There's a lot of information. But also, aside from all of the entrepreneur stuff, people have to, in universities, head coaches, assistants have to run camps and clinics. I shouldn't say have to, but a lot do look to run camps and clinics. So there's a lot of information out of here that they can get to help maintain, because I know you've had some great experiences with that, with the Cavs and with LTB. Mm-hmm. That being said, going back to what we just mentioned, being that teacher, that high school coach, your time, how did that really shape your idea as to teaching the youth and wanting to get into this side, starting this side, being the entrepreneur and starting your own company?
Yeah, it's crazy to look at. I think this is like year eight or year nine for my basketball business, my company, LTB. And yeah, it goes back to the teaching days. I was a varsity assistant. I was a private school teacher. And the school I was at, Lutheran West, they just gave me some extra gym time to do the training piece. And like, I've always been a gym rat, always been in the gym as a kid. I didn't make it as a player. I played 2 years in college, but I wasn't a college superstar. I didn't go anywhere that big. But yeah, when I stopped playing, it was just in me. It was just in me to stay in the gym. It was in me to start training kids. And it's crazy, man. Like, I remember the first couple of kids I trained, when a couple then turned to 20, turned to 50, and then it turned into parents really starting to ask me about you. And to kind of give the short version really quick, I looked into it. I didn't really see a lot of development on that side. And to sum it up, that's where my passion for all this came from. Like, I was so passionate about developing kids, and I thought there was a true need in the AU space, and I think there still is a huge need. There's so much work for on that side to be done as far as our country goes with developing kids for basketball. So that's sum it up. I was a teacher, had some extra gym time, and a couple of kids led to 8 years later, got 600 kids year round.
Wow. No, that's amazing, man. But no, you hit something there that's really a big deal. We are, if you took our model and then almost like the European model, right? It's almost completely flipped.
Yep.
From a youth perspective anyway. Like, we're more play, maybe one practice if you can get multiple kids to all show up at the same gym from four to five different cities on time. And then maybe a skill development deal in there, or maybe personal skill stuff. And then obviously the European model is practice, skill develop, more team play focused, and then maybe one game on a Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah. And that's exactly
what I mean. Totally flip model, but yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're trying to basically almost hijack that in a healthy way.
Yeah.
From a standpoint of development and just saying there's a huge gap, a huge hole that needs to be filled, because kids are just playing and oftentimes don't really know how to play. They're just playing a lot of games.
Exactly. That's exactly what my program does, is I really believe in that model, and I just see the development they're truly doing in Europe with. You hit it right on the head. These kids are playing too many games and they don't have the tool set or skill set to play in all the games. So I see it over the past couple of years, and it's been a lot of trial and error, but these kids are playing four or five games on a Saturday and they're practicing maybe once a week. So we have it totally backwards. And we'll talk about this later, like getting people to buy into what I'm trying to do. That's my biggest challenge. So because I'm essentially doing it backwards. So many established clubs and so many established programs are still doing the game heavy and are still doing the 10 tournaments. When I come and I give this new approach, I get a lot of pushback and a lot of, why are we doing it this way? Why aren't we playing in all these games? It's a challenge, but for the kids who buy in and the families who buy in, they start to see the results and the true growth through the problem.
Yeah. No, no doubt, man. No, we're in such showcase mode versus like skill development mode. So I love the fact that you're like literally like running face first into the wind on this deal, because that's exactly what not our kids need, but it's right. Our country needs this approach in a big way.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Well, yeah, we were talking with one of your friends over in Australia who runs the Australian boot with the Australian national team and the Boomers. And he talked about the development of how they would take he was talking their professional team, and they would start them in the youth, and then they would see how their Olympic team was poor, where they lacked, and then they would implement that into their youth. So then once their youth got to the age of where they were able to play for the Olympic team, they were better at specific things, which is incredible. And it's something that we don't do. But I want to say one thing, Luke, is, and I know with LTB, I know there's one thing that you necessarily do a ton of, and I know me and you have talked about it in previous conversations, and it's you like to take the little things and make them big things, like showing up on time and being good people and little things like that. Things that coaches implement into systems and into teams. I know you're implementing that into an AAU team or an AAU program, and I know a lot of AAU programs don't do that. So that's something that's huge, because it's ultimately setting standards and putting good rules and expectations for kids. So talk about like implementing those, how you've seen the growth, and just one, making sure that the coaches that you bring in also align with what you're trying to do with the program.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing about all of this, and so many coaches truly either don't grasp it or forget about it, or maybe they're just not educated about it. But, you know, the biggest thing, especially in the youth, is it's so much bigger than basketball. These kids are figuring out what they truly like. They're obviously playing basketball because they like it and they like sports. But I've seen it so many times doing this for about 10 plus years. Kids will play basketball in fourth, fifth, sixth grade, and then maybe come middle school, they really like football or they really like baseball. Whether they end up playing high school, like the main goal of our program is to prepare these kids for high school and want the kids to play high school. So many parents and so many kids, they think college, they think pro. When if you truly look at the numbers, it's just not a reality for a lot of kids. And the biggest thing that we do is like, we try to take these things that, whether it's a different sport, whether it's them going to college, whether it's a job, we try to teach them those things in sport. That's why sport is so great. In sport that they could take with them. So like you said, we have three really big things that we always go over at all of our practices with all of our teams. Work ethic, you know, working hard, everything that you do, whether it's in the classroom or at practice. Another one is being competitive. We teach the kids, especially at a young age, we want them to have fun, and it's about having fun, but we also want them to be competitive. And everything that they do, we want them to attack it hard, and we want them to attack it from a competitive approach. And then the third thing is, these are just our three like really basic ones. Our third thing is just being a good person, whether that's being a good teammate, being coachable, And I think that's like just the biggest thing in youth sports is so many coaches truly lose. They get so focused on winning a fifth grade game, so focused on winning a tournament. And at the end of the day, like, you can get that trophy and you can get that medal, but at the end of the day, it's truly meaningless. The kids can have fun and the kids can have a good experience, but what are you really doing for the kids as far as life goes? And that's why sport is so important. That's why coaching is so important. And I feel like it's just kind of lost in our society today with really focusing on the things that truly matter.
No, it's so good, man. Because like you said, in this quest to win some fifth grade weekend championship in Schenectady, New York, you know, what happens is this particular coach will get so caught up in that. And then if he can maybe get a talented player that can help him get that thing that he wants, which is some badge of honor or winning some tournament or whatever, you can elevate certain kids over the importance of the team.
Right.
And so a lot of these kids and parents are going to these programs that are maybe showcase based, but they're also running into that as well. And they're saying, all right, yeah, you can be on this team, but these four kids aren't coming off the floor.
Yeah.
And it may sound good that you're part of this program, but are you really getting developed, or are you just showing up and going through layup lines and clapping and cheering and being part of the bench mob?
Yeah.
And the fact that you're actually making the program and the team aspect and character and all these things that travel in life, that's huge, man. That's really good because you're lifting the lid on all the stuff that's wrong with our model.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And like just going off that, it's not easy. Like everything that I'm doing and my philosophies and whatnot, I'll be honest, like we have a really good retention rate, but we have a lot of kids and families that will try it for 3 months. And one, their kid's not that good. They need development. The parent really needs to understand that from a professional opinion. We try to tell them where their kid's at. But if they don't want to hear it, when they start in this program where their kid struggles in the beginning, a lot of people just jump ship or they quit because it's not easy. Yeah, everything that we talked about, it's great. And the people that buy in, like we're truly making a difference. But it's tough to get everyone to buy in sometimes to doing it the right way.
Yeah. The best part about that is who you have is who you're supposed to have.
I love that saying.
So that's the beauty of it, right? Your approach is weeding out at the same time. Because if somebody's really truly committed and parents really want to hear the truth and they don't want to hear some rose-colored glasses thing about their kid that, you know, yeah, my son's a really great shooter. He made a three last weekend. Okay, how is he if he shoots 10 of them? Can he make six?
Yep.
Can he make seven?
Yep.
Was this a one-off because he was 0 for 16 in his previous threes and he hoisted one in?
Right.
So what are you really basing your belief on? So you're actually keeping it factual and you're preaching truth versus selling dreams because you're not trying to get this next five-star fifth grader that Hoop Scoop says is a rising whatever. So you could care less, right? This is so good because you're literally basing everything that you do on the stuff that matters.
Yeah. And man, just to talk about that, there's so much good and bad in AAU, and we're trying really hard to do everything the right way. But just to go off what you said, I saw a program post the other day that they just got the top third grader in the country committed to the program. And I remember sending it to one of my coaches, and I'm like, who is going around the country seeing all these third graders and ranking them all? You know, we're talking about 9-10-year-old kids here. And I saw a program post that, and I'm just like, man, this is exactly why I'm in it. I'm exactly in it for the opposite of this, is to give parents and give kids a program where truly development, truly fundamental, let them have fun and enjoy the game first before we start labeling them best third grader in the country. It don't make a lot of sense.
No.
No,
it's ridiculous, man. And no offense to Hoop Scoop for the folks out there. I don't even know if Hoop Scoop is still in business or not, but that was something that the Hoop Scoop program used to do, is rank kids into their middle school ages. And again, hey, scouting services, we all got to do our thing. This is not a knock against what they're doing. Do what you have to do. I get it. But for any parents that might be listening to this or coaches or parents who coach their kids, right? That's one that you have to come across as well. Like, that parent really has to be able to separate the daddy eyes versus hearing like the truth. That's a big one too.
How many times have you seen a kid, we'll even say a high school or college kid who's top, but we'll say high school kid who's like, to your point, one of those top, he's going to be the best. He's going to be the next LeBron or Kobe. And it's, you never hear from that kid again. And I'm not going to say maybe a lot of people are wrong with those assumptions, or maybe a lot of times people blow a lot of smoke and then they get big headed and then they start to plummet. I'm sure there's a wide range of things that could happen, but it's just, yeah, to your point, ranking somebody in third grade is wild.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit about the running the camps, running the clinics that you have, because obviously LTB being a youth development, I know it's an AAU and a youth development program, but also you have a tremendous experience with the Cats Academy. You were the, as I mentioned, the former head coach of their academy program. So with those, coaches have to run camps, or again, let me keep rephrasing that, do or may run camps over the summer. What kind of drills, games with the youth, even with your development or just with the camps and clinics, do you find that like kids enjoyed the most during those summer camps that kind of helped gain some retention or at least see some spark?
Yeah. Camps are so important, Doug. As we were talking before, we went live here, working for the Cavs for, I did that. I led it all for about 6 years full time. And then before that, me and you working for them, we did that for about 4 years. So overall, 10 years experience with them. Talk about what an organization, what a blessing that was to run all those camps. We took it from, Doug, when me and you started, we did about 9 camps in the summer. My last year, last summer, full time, we got that all the way up to 33. We were doing 33 camps in a summer, and it went everywhere from Western PA to Western New York. You know how that NBA jurisdiction works is the Cavs, they actually have all of Ohio, a little bit of PA, a little bit of New York. So we were going to a lot of places, and it was great for me because I saw different facilities, different gyms, met different athletic directors. But what was great was seeing all the kids and all the skill levels all throughout Ohio, Western PA, Western New York. So to sum that up, camps are so important. And to any coach, high school coach or college coach running a camp, kids just want to have fun, obviously. They want to have fun. It's the summer. It's the summer. So they kind of want to get away from, especially the serious players, they want to get away from kind of their practice routine and get away from like the grind of the season. The biggest thing is we're truly trying to have fun. And how we do that is kids love to play, man. Kids love to play. We did so much. I love 3-on-3 at camps. There's so many ball touches and so many coaches speak on all the benefits of 3-on-3. So to give like our camps were 3 hours long, we would do fundamental stations. Kids would get that fundamental skill work from all the coaches that we had. We do that for about 45 minutes to an hour. Then we would do some like game situations. But then to sum it up, every day they're playing 3-on-3, 5-on-5, some type of fun shooting games. Kids want to have fun, man. They like playing basketball and it's the summer. So I guess that's like my biggest advice for anyone running around camps is make sure it's fun. It's the summer and the kids want to have fun.
Yeah, I had a phenomenal summer last July and an amazing blessing to be able to work some NBA basketball school camps, things that they're trending now in Europe. And the NBA's done a great job of just expanding their fingerprint. And I spent 2 weeks in Italy and 1 week in Poland. And a lot of, again, just seeing the different ages, the skill levels, it's really cool, right? Yeah. Just seeing kids approach who they like, who their favorite players are, why they like this certain player. Sometimes it's for their skills, sometimes it's for their shoes. But the fun thing, it was the three Fs that I had a chance to run each one of those camps. And it was the three Fs. It was fun, fundamentals, and friends.
Yep.
Make sure you have fun. Have the time of your life. Get better, at least just be better at some fundamental by the end of the week. Whatever it is, have something in your head that you want to do attack. And then leave this camp with a whole bunch of new either phone numbers or IG addresses for you to just stay in touch with. The way kids can stay in touch now, it's amazing. But you probably do this too, is you try to take the stigma off of a mistake, because part of development, sometimes kids want to get things right and they oftentimes maybe want to be perfect. Maybe that sometimes comes from home and there's that pressure, but you probably try to approach it, and correct me if I'm wrong, you try to use mistakes as a form of development instead of something wrong. Wait a minute, you just gave me an opportunity to coach you. This is awesome.
Yes. Yeah, the summer, with all the stuff that I do basketball-wise and coaching, the summer camps with the Cavs is probably like the funnest thing I did, because this is another big thing too, especially for youth. You got to take it serious and you got to be hard on the kids and you got to coach them and you're all about development. But the one thing I loved about the summer is kids truly need freedom to develop. So many coaches, especially at the youth level, they put kids in boxes. They say in fifth, sixth grade, they say, oh, you're taller, you're going to play under the hoop, or you can handle the ball, so we're just going to let you dribble. A lot of coaches put kids in boxes. In the summer, the summer camps are the best, just because the kids go there, they play 3-on-3, they play 5-on-5. You're giving them freedom to truly develop, to see what they can do, to see what they can do, give them feedback right there. So out of all the stuff that Don and I do, the summer camps are so much fun just because of how it's set up.
Now I'm with you. 3-on-3 is magic, man. And really for all levels, talk about something that translates. You can be as creative as you want with it. You can be as simple as you want. You got dribble limits. You got, you know, 3-on-3 by themselves, 3-on-3 with a coach as a passer. Mm-hmm. Now they got their screening stuff going on. It's so many things. You know, defensively, 3-on-3, right? Like you can play for stops instead of scores. Like it's just,
exactly.
It is so versatile, man. But you're right. They get, you get touches, right? Sometimes either way, because some kids, you're not in the corner, not touching it, but you also got to go guard somebody too.
Yeah. And I remember, well, at least when I was with you guys with the Cavs, there were two things that I absolutely loved. Now it was a Monday through Friday camp, so I know some colleges might not, or other people might not do a full week, but we did Championship Friday. Championship yep. Friday was huge because it was easy for the coaches because it was a step back and they were just more competition type thing. But then it was also the kids loved it because it was competitions, all championship stuff. But then the camps versus coaches, or the campers versus coaches game. We would actually have a game, and Ahmad Crump, the announcer, would show up, and Sir CC would show up. They'd have some of the NBA guys, and they did this whole all the coaches versus all the campers. Now, the coaches that we had were all like former professionals, like all these big dudes. So it was funny with people throwing lobs. But like the kids loved playing against the coaches because they saw just the enjoyment.
Oh, yeah. It's absolute blast. Doug, since you've left, we've had some truly incredible battles with that coaches versus campers. And just so many memories and stories made for the kids and even the coaches. But just a quick story. Two summers ago down in Cincinnati, I think we had like 150 kids at that camp. It was just a great camp. We partnered with a guy down there. His name's James Dews. Used to play at Miami Hurricanes. Played at the U. Great guy. Doing his thing down in Cincinnati. Truly doing the training and development the right way. But to sum it up, like, we always would relate to this. We always go back with the kids, like, to make it close. Like, coaches would score. Kids would score. Yep. Cincinnati had some ballers. Like, they had some players. So they, like, got up on us about 15 or 20. And the coaches all looked at each other. We're like, guys, we're going to lose. So we end up coming back, and to sum it up, we're down by 2 points, and I pass it to James, and he hits like a fadeaway three in the corner to end it, to beat the kids. And I swear, the kids were all going nuts as far as like yelling, and then when that bucket went in, you could literally hear a pin drop. And it's under like 12 points still because he literally hit it at the buzzer to beat the
game. He gave him one of these right here.
The kids were devastated because they wanted to beat us so bad. But just the point there is just how much fun it is for the coach and for the kids. And that's truly what it's all about is kids will probably – and I know I will because I just shared it. I'll remember it forever, and I know the kids will too.
Man. No, those were always fun.
I had a kid in Poland. He came up and he thanked our coaches at the end of the week. He said, coaches, thank you guys for helping me love the game this week. And I'm like,
oh, it's huge.
Don't even pay me.
Yeah.
Honestly, I absolutely am. I love your approach, man. You're literally going at the heart of something that if our youth people ever start to figure it out, you're on the path of making development cool again. It was once before, back when kids would actually, like Doug says, go to colleges for and spend camp. But again, now with all the grassroots stuff has sucked a lot of that energy out of going to and spending a week in a college dorm and hanging out and getting better.
Yeah.
So you're going right at something that we desperately need, man. This is so good.
Yeah.
If you had to say one thing, so we just talked about a few different drills and games that you'd play. If there was one thing out of all of the camps that you have ran that you'd say this is probably one of the most underrated parts of a camp that people love, that parents love, that kids loved, what would you say that would be?
Oh, man, Doug, you can relate to this. It's hit or miss from camp to camp, but if the campers truly catch on and enjoy it, they go nuts for it, and that's a UK knockout. The UK knockout, show it to them, and they get it, and they enjoy it. They'll want to play it for hours. And basically, for listeners, like what UK knockout is, it's basically knockout, but backwards. The kids have to roll the ball through everyone's legs. It's an incredible teamwork game. Talk about teaching the kids the concept of teamwork. If you don't work as a team, like, your team's going to get smoked. But yeah, like that we do that at every Cavs camp, but it's hit or miss. Some kids like just won't like it and won't catch on. And as a coach, you got to read your campers, read your kids. If they don't like it, you probably move on from it. But man, there's some camps where the kids just absolutely love it. And that's all they want to play from the time they get in the door. It's like, coach, can we play UK knockout? So whether it's UK knockout or another game, just finding those fun games that does fundamentals and makes the kids have fun. That's what camp's all about.
Yeah.
No, and I want to emphasize like what it is exactly, just so in case people want to do it. So really, yep. If I'm not mistaken, it was 10 on 10. You have 10 on one hoop, 10 on another. No, you actually do them on both on the same hoop, right? You do them both on the same hoop.
Same hoop.
Yeah. We'll say it was 10 on 10. You have one at one elbow, one group of 10 at one elbow, one at the other elbow. So all 10 have to stand in a line. First person goes. Once they make it, they have to run all the way to the back, roll it through all of their partner's legs. Then it gets to the person in the front. They have to pick it up and shoot it. And it's typical knockout from there. You make it, run all the way to the back, roll it through their legs. We're like, all the people in the middle are allowed to like slowly hit the ball forward. So it's kind of like a bowling in essence. You got to roll through all the people's legs to get to the front. You get a clean roll. It's nice, but it's competitive. It's quick, and it definitely gets people going. It gets all the players involved.
What's Doug, you explained that pretty well. What's great about it is just seeing the kids truly come together and work together. Because if you don't work together,
you got no shot.
Yeah, you got no shot.
Absolutely no shot.
Like, that's when the kids don't like it. And sometimes you'll have camps where like the kids won't work together, so they don't like it. So you either try to coach them through it. If they're not getting it, you move on. But it's just amazing to see the kids really come together and communicate and talk to each other. And by the time they play the first game till like on Friday when they're playing their 12th game of the week, they like truly get it. And you see them like really communicate and working. And it just goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning, teaching concepts through sports, the concept of communicating and being able to use your voice, being able to talk to people. It was honestly huge for it. Like the kids, they truly developed their communication skills through that game.
Wow. No, I love that, man. What does the UK stand for? Or is that like is it an English version, British version of Knockout UK or University of Kentucky Knockout UK? Or what is the UK?
I'll be honest. This goes back to the original days of like Cavs Academy camps. Coach Doug, who was it? Coach Twig, who introduced it to all of us?
Yeah. It was William Twig, and he was on here, actually.
There we go.
Will UK. Twig. So it's literally from United Kingdom. It's from England.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. And the cool part about it was, say it was 10 on 10, first person makes it, second person misses, that guy's out, right? But then as the teams diminish, now it's 10 on 4. This team of 10 has to roll it so much farther. The team of 4 has a lot less, so it's a lot easier and quicker. So it's a game of comebacks, too. Like, it can easily sway quickly. And they start to see the comeback and people start getting into it.
Yeah, that's such a good point. It literally shows another concept of never giving up. Like, Doug, you probably, your time working the Cavs camps, you've probably seen some comebacks. Like, we've seen a team up, we've seen a team up like 10 to 2, and those two kids will work hard and catch fire and make shots and come back and win. And it's another thing, like another teaching moment in sports where we teach the kids, never give up. You're down 20, 30 points in the game. Come back, dig in, and work harder. And it's, man, just going back to that original point, there's so many things we could teach through sport.
It's a last man standing, period.
Yeah. Team with the last
like man. Whoever, yeah, Wow.
Last guy has to roll through his own legs, basically just do a behind the legs and then shot behind the legs and shot. But if it's 10 on one, that one guy can catch fire and knock all 10 out quick because they have a longer roll and a lot more to go through. So it's like you can easily catch fire.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, it was a great game. Honestly, I'm not going to lie. I forgot about that. That was a good time.
Yeah, we do it at every camp scan, man. It's a ritual. Yeah,
that's big time.
That's great. Let me ask this, and I guess one of the things just to wrap up, but also to wrap up camps, right? I know, of course, and I feel like putting it out there is evident too, that when you run a camp, yes, it's ultimately for the kids to see development, to see something. But at the end of the day, it is a program where it is essentially money-based, and there is income for it and whatnot. That being said, you want to make the camps noticeable or good for the families as well, the parents who were watching. Like, I know a lot of people probably don't want to say that, but it's evident as well. Of course, again, I want to make sure to reiterate it is for the kids, but of course you want to make it good for the families. What kind of feedback systems do you use to help the athletes, but also the parents, to see progression over a week? Because it's hard to really truly make somebody better in a week on a large scale, I'm saying. Obviously, there's little things that you can help implement and make them better at, but in a week, if not less than. So are there any feedback systems, anything that you guys did? I know they used to do, all the coaches would have to write like a whole couple paragraphs about how the kid has grown and things like that. But was there anything unique that you guys have done or implemented?
Yeah, we did that for a couple years. And you hit it right on the head. Not only with a summer camp, so a summer camp's a week long, but if you think about a new season, which is three, four months. We don't do much longer than that. But even with an AAU season, it's truly not enough time to go over as much as you want to go over with these kids. So the biggest thing I'd say this, if we had kids for a week and we told all of our coaches this at Cavs camps, the last day on championship Thursday, championship Friday, whatever day it was, when you're doing signouts, I would always tell coaches like, hey, that is where you give the kids the feedback as they leave you. And it could be something as I'm like really big on positive reinforcement. I love telling kids something they do good first. And then in that same sentence, telling them like, hey, Jimmy, like when you shoot, make sure you have that good base and make sure your feet are shoulder width apart. At Cavs camps, that's what we did towards my last couple of years, is we would, in that final checkout, we would literally give kids feedback and tell them what drills to do, what to keep working on. But to sum it up, like even a week, it's not enough time. Like the good coaches and the coaches like who truly want to develop and work with kids, I mean, they could tell you a week's time is not that long. So I think I can answer that with kind of like the direct feedback as they leave. But yeah.
Yeah. And then probably in a week, you really maybe try to hit one thing.
Yes.
Is there one thing on either side of the ball? Like defensively, hey, when you really sit down, you're much better in this when you really get in the stance of keeping the ball in front of you on drives. When you stand straight up, you tend to get driven around or whatever it may be. That's in that short sample size, almost like that's the best you can do, is just try to hone in on that one thing. And then if they come back and it's somebody cyclical in your program that, you know, comes through, then you get obviously a larger sample size, which that helps you more.
For sure.
Well, Luke, first off, thank you. I know, of course, you got a lot going on with the AAU program. And I know today you might have a little bit more downtime, but just being able to have the opportunity to talk with you again, one, to be able to share all the information. Because like I said, a lot of people should know, and I truly feel a lot of universities should run camps and clinics, just because whether it's getting kids in, it's getting people to your university, it's letting them see the university or the high school, whatever it is that you're doing. And then just getting to be able to be a part with those kids. Like, we ran a camp this past summer, and I will say there is one kid. Yeah, he was a sophomore, about 6'5", 6'6", and we got our eyes on him now. And that's a dime a dozen, but it's one of those things where you never know. And at the same point, it's a way for at least to keep you busy during the summer. Like, especially, I should say, for a Division III program, we don't really do much during the summer. So it's like we're not really too hands-on. But nonetheless, I think camps, I think youth development, it's huge. It's pivotal in this world, and it's something that I know you have done a tremendous job of. So thanks for hopping on here, sharing that type of information and all the great work that you've done, because you work with some tremendous people.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you guys for having me on. This was great. And we could probably talk for another hour or so just talking.
I know.
No doubt. No, thank you, man. Keep doing what you're doing, brother. This is much, much needed.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. And everybody out there, thank you all for tuning in to another episode the Rising Coaches Podcast. Alan Major, Doug Caputo. Coaches, keep working and keep rising. We'll see you all soon.
Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.